Hello and welcome to our Diocese of Cleveland Innovation Series. Today I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Kristen Melly, who's the Executive Director of Dominican Veritas Ministries. This is a relatively new apostolate, a pontifical public juridic person, a network of Dominican Catholic schools, including one here in the Diocese of Cleveland, Our Lady of the Elms in Akron. Dr. Melly comes to us based in Boston, where she is now. She's got some Ohio roots. Her mother is originally from Ohio. And Kristen, welcome to our innovation series, and thank you for taking the time to share with us.
I'm delighted to be part of the series. This is an exciting project that you're doing.
Thank you. Well, thanks for being with us. And I hope you'd explain to our listeners, please, what is Dominican Veritas Ministries, and what problem or challenge was DVM created to solve?
So it's no mystery that Dominican sister congregations are reaching a stage of their ministries where they're no longer capable to support the needs of sponsorship of several of their ministries. So looking bravely at their future, they recognized in 2016 it was time to start thinking about what would happen when their congregations perhaps come to an end to their sponsored ministries, in this case, their schools. And luckily, around the world, there are people who have been looking at public juridic persons, creating new public juridic persons, Australia in particular. Healthcare systems in the United States for the past 25 years have made the move in this direction. So religiously sponsored hospitals have been moved from their founding congregations into new canonical entities. And so there's a long, yet more recent history of making this step. And in 2021, after about 5 years of study and preparation, 5 Dominican sister congregations were ready to go forward. They submitted an application to the Dicastery of Apostolic Life and Consecrated Life at the Vatican. A year later, December of 2022, their request was approved to establish a new public juridic person, which is a canonical entity, and to transfer 9 of the schools sponsored by 3 of the original 5 congregations coming into DVM. So I know it's a lot of math, but essentially what it means is on September 1st, 2023, 5 congregations activated DVM, Dominican Veritas Ministries, and 3 of those 5 congregations transferred sponsorship of their school ministries from their congregations to DVM. And it's rather simple to say, but there was a lot of moving parts behind the scenes to make this moment happen. And this was the sort of courageous, brave option for the sisters. They, of course, had other opportunities they could have explored. They could have let the schools kind of break off and be independent and maybe Catholic only historically or in some of their values, but not have an authentic link to the church. They could have given the schools to the diocese, which many congregations have in the past, and have the bishops and the school offices manage the ministries, or they could have closed the ministries. But they chose something that was new and challenging and exciting, and it worked. So it's been quite a journey that we're on together.
That is wonderful. And it is a really, as we talk about innovation here, you're touching on a lot of the themes that have been happening nationwide and in this diocese in terms of our historic past built up with our strong infrastructure and our current ministries that stand on the shoulders of especially the sisters and all the communities that built Catholic education. But as we've been emerging into the future, there has been a lot of collaboration, of figuring out how to do what we used to do and do it better and do it together instead of ways that have been siloed. And so it's got national implications. And as a ministry here, it's heading to the future for the church. How do you get into this work? Tell us about yourself and your background. What drew you to this innovative ministry with this national scope?
Yeah, thank you. I would say, you know, if you look across my career as a Catholic educator, it's a lot of different roles in a lot of different places. And it makes a lot of sense as I stand in this new position as the inaugural executive director for Dominican Veritas Ministries. So after completing graduate school, I taught high school. I've taught elementary school, spent a lot of time in the classroom, even worked in adult education for a time and learned how to be a teacher, learned the importance of not just the what, but the how and the why. I have been an associate superintendent for high schools in the Diocese of Worcester. I have worked in research centers at Assumption University, directing national research initiatives on Catholic school students. I've been a high school principal of an all-girls Catholic school. And I have worked at Boston College in the Rope Center for Catholic Education with Dr. Patty Whitesell-O'Neill, establishing a series of programs that allowed schools to respond meaningfully to the change of demographics, the change of the leadership position, starting things like the Two-Way Immersion Network for Catholic Schools, the EMEA series for Catholic school leaders, and a few other special projects. So paying attention to the changing dynamics and necessity of being a school leader at this time, and how do we bring the best of Catholic education to today's families, to today's students, and help them experience something that's rich and distinctively Catholic. That has really been the center of my work. Lastly, I would just add that my own doctoral work in Catholic education was around establishing a new theory of pedagogy that would be specifically for the accomplishment of Catholic education. And that has allowed me to think in a very creative way, an innovative way, about what it is that we're inviting young people to do. And do our faculty and staff have the resources, the training, the depth of their own knowledge in the Catholic faith to help bring that forward, to actually share that? As we know, all Catholic school members of the community are asked to be role models. Do they have that understanding? Do they have that formation? So these are the pieces that I've been working on for over 10 years, and is certainly now working on in a very particular way in the community of Dominican Veritas Ministries.
Thank you for explaining that vocation and how you are answering this essential call here in Catholic education. Our listeners are probably familiar around this diocese. There are a number of religious orders, many of them founded Catholic schools, and a great number of them have moved to sponsorship models in recent decades. But this is much different, right? Can you tell us, how is DVM different?
I think it's different because it's acting on the opportunity in a unique way. I have myself been thinking a lot about the idea of sponsorship. If you speak to canon lawyers, they'll tell you that the concept isn't very well defined in canon law. And canon law, of course, has to work in partnership with civil law. So we have those pieces. But I think sponsorship is actually kind of clearly articulated in canon law. And we have that in the sacraments. So if we think about the sacrament of baptism and we think about the sacrament of confirmation, the person who is the sponsor, you know, either it's the friends of the parents at the moment of baptism for a young person, or the actual sponsor that a young person who's going through confirmation might select. We think about that relationship. That individual who's preparing for a confirmation seeks out a sponsor, someone who they have a relationship with, who they trust. And that sponsor recognizes that his or her responsibility is to not sort of smother or be a helicopter presence in this person's life, but to help them look at their life, look at the obstacles that perhaps are in front of them, help them to see ways around or through or over those obstacles for their own flourishing. And so as we think about Dominican Veritas Ministries and this new moment of sponsorship, we're leaning into those ideas that this is truly about the relationship that a sponsor would have with a young person going through confirmation, that we want the ministry's absolute best. We also know that we're not the ministry, right? And that there has to be a lot of trust and support for each individual ministry. You know, one of the unique challenges is that, you know, there's 13 schools that we sponsor currently, and none of them are alike. However, because they share a series of identities, they're all Catholic, they're all Dominican, they're all working with young people, they do have enough in common to learn from one another. So we're taking intentional steps to create resources, to create opportunities, not only for us to provide direct support to each individual ministry, but new opportunities for the schools to be collaborating as board chairs, as campus ministers, as theology teachers, as marketing enrollment individuals, as presidents or as principals. And they now know that they belong to a network where they can bring a variety of challenges, a variety of insights, and share those with each other. So that's been a very exciting part of the sponsorship. We also are insisting that the schools continue to reach out to their founding congregation. So just because the sponsorship now flows up through this new model, there's an existing historical living relationship with the founding congregation. So it's that great Catholic both and. DVM is the sponsor, and you have this legacy relationship with your founding congregation. So we're encouraging both. We want the schools founded by the Dominican Sisters of Sinsinawa to still carry on that particular Sinsinawan-ness in their schools. Same thing in Houston, same thing with the Adrian schools that we sponsor, and of course, the Peace schools that came into DVM just 1 year ago this month.
Thank you. That's very much in keeping with one of our root beliefs here, that collaboration is a force multiplier. And our audience is familiar with some local networks here in the diocese where local schools get together, but yours is much more widely spread. Are there challenges that come with that distance, and are there any opportunities or benefits that you see as well?
Yeah, I'd say there are both. The challenges, though, I don't know if they're unique to DVM. I think we find them in a pretty common way. So first, I'd say each school is very unique. You know, just like you, Frank, you will never know a school like the people who are in it every day. And so I respect that, and I make sure that I don't get in the way, but I'm also available should I be requested or someone's reaching out to need me. So there's a fair amount of trust that is required to accomplish school ministry. The other thing is the schools, because they're not in one diocese and are not so much competing, I'm using scare quotes here in the air, competing for the same number of families, they are able to kind of bring various ideas, questions, share in a perhaps more vulnerable way the things that they're worried about, things that they're working on, and not have to worry about other schools kind of picking that idea up and running away with it. So that I think is a concern for schools that are in one diocese, but less of a concern for schools that are organized like ours. You know, we're in 9 different states, and that allows for us to be very transparent with each other about the things that we're working on, and allows people to feel very free to share some of the things that they're worrying about. So I've worked in a number of dioceses, of course, and one of the things I've always wanted to try to do is reduce that, right? To reduce that sense of competition among the ministries. There are more than enough families. It's how do we work together to help everyone recognize the opportunity of a Catholic education for all families who seek one. And when we can work together, even in a tighter geographical area like your diocese, you have the better possibility to amplify something true and clear and resounding and beautiful for people to respond to. We don't have that opportunity so much in DVM because we are, again, in 9 different states. But when you are in one diocese, that's something that I think schools or our diocese could grow into.
Thank you. That's helpful for us to reflect on. And as we think about DVM Start, what are some of the things that have been most successful since the origin of the network?
I think that the thing that I'm most pleased with is the way in which DVM is already providing value to the work of school sponsorship. There was a lot of work that we had to do initially to adjust the governance structures of the schools. And that's always a hard place to start. Like, hi, I'm Kristen. I'm here to change the reserve powers of your school board. It's hard to walk into that and everyone feel good about it, right? At the same time, I feel as though the way in which the trustees and the members and I worked on that with the schools, we sort of gave ourselves over in the spirit of trust and in the spirit of this is what the sisters desire for the schools. We were able to get to know one another through these very hard, challenging philosophical conversations right off. And because of that, I feel as though we were able to kind of jumpstart on some of the other things that are more fun, like the formative work, the affinity meetings, the conferences and spiritual retreats that we're doing. We've been working together, collaboration, to make a policy guidebook. So because all the schools have a similar governance relationship with DVM, and we hadn't had a chance to define the culture of DVM and that relationship with the schools, I organized a a series of focus groups and invited representation from each school board to serve in these focus groups. There was one on the Dominican Catholic identity and mission. There was one on financial stewardship and one on governance. And in these spaces, schools had a chance to share some of their best practices, the ways in which they accomplished these particular operational areas of the school. And then from that, we asked for volunteers to be part of a writing group. And so we had three different writing groups working simultaneously to help capture some of these best practices that people were very excited about, as well as think through processes for accomplishing the reserve powers, accomplishing the sort of the obligational approvals that DDM has. And then once we pulled all that together, we gave the school's boards a couple of months to read through it and provide feedback and help us refine it. And after that, we have a living document. And since then, we've made a couple of little adjustments to it. Next summer, we will pull together a steering committee, representative steering committee, to update the document, again, to really stay true to this idea that it's a living document. But that kind of project, that was an early win for sure. It allowed everyone to recognize that their voice really was valuable. And we put their voices, their experiences, their particular successes to work in this new document. And it's this new document, not Kristen, not, you know, Sister Mary Margaret, deciding what happens to the schools, but it's a decision that we've all made together.
That is wonderful, giving life to the structure, the structure on paper coming into life with the humans who are living it. That's a beautiful example. So what can we look for next as the network continues to grow into the future?
Yeah, well, we're rolling out a learning management system. We launched it actually just 2 weeks ago, but we're looking to really expand it. And this is a bit of a clearinghouse of all Dominican educator resources. It looks a lot like if you've taken an online course like Canvas, but we've used the software called Circle, and we've custom built it with a designer and populated it with the things that my team and I had at our fingertips. And now we've rolled it out with a group of 50 educators and sisters who are testing it, uploading their own items to it, curriculum, images, quotes, photos, to really deepen and enrich the value of it. And then we'll do a full launch in September of this. So this is a collaborative space for people to bring some of their best ideas around how to provide and animate the different elements of a Dominican Catholic education. We are also going to be providing a series of modules there, some board trainings for different operational areas of the school, and individuals in the platform will be able to kind of take these modules on their own time. It has links to all kinds of wonderful, meaningful resources in the Dominican family globally and nationally. So it's really a hub, I'd say, that we're building, and that's really exciting. Other things on the horizon, sisters and I are getting ready for a trip in October. We will be going to the Vatican. We have an appointment at the Dicastery for consecrated and apostolic life, and we will be meeting with that committee to share the success of our first 2 years as a new ministry. And we've already submitted the report, which was, you know, accepted, and that was really wonderful. And I'm, you know, very much looking forward to taking this moment with the sisters to celebrate this incredible accomplishment. You know, you explained earlier that there were a couple of different choices that the sisters had before them. This was the most challenging one, the one that they chose. But it's a step from a position of love and abundance for the schools to say, this is these ministries are precious to us. And I also want to point out that the Vatican's approval of Dominican Veritas Ministries is the claim that the church is making that the Catholic world can't imagine itself without the sisters' ministries continuing on, right? So that's a beautiful part of this story, collaborating into a new sponsorship model. The Vatican saying, yes, of course, we want this for you. It's a beautiful testament of the church's openness to how these educational ministries are evolving and changing, yet still needing these relationships to thrive.
Outstanding. You talked a little bit about the importance of culture and respecting the connection with the founding Dominican congregations, and that thread remains in the schools. We've got listeners, most of whom are in parish elementary schools where there's a long history, perhaps, but it's a history of the parish, it may not have as clearly defined charisms like the Dominican Sisters. What learning do you think these schools or we as a diocese can take from the approach that you all are doing at DVM as we evolve for the future?
Yeah, no, the idea of charism is really essential and central to affecting Catholic education. So Catholic education, of course, has its own series of expectations and requirements in order to meet the needs of celebrating a young person's learning. To do it with a particular charism, though, is very helpful. I remember working with principals who didn't have a charism, and they felt as though there was a lack there. There was a desire to have one. And I believe that even if you weren't founded by a religious congregation, there was certainly a spirit in place when the ministry was established. So I would encourage these schools to go back to its origin story, try to really get as much of an understanding as possible in the history of the school. What was the need or needs that were being responded to in the foundation of this ministry? What was driving the people who toiled to raise the money and articulate the vision and go through all the different steps that are required to found a new school? What was driving them? What kept them focused and animated? And if you can have a sense of that, that's the charism of the school. And that still has a place in the school's life today. So the question becomes then, once you know what your charism is, how do you bring it to life? How do you share it? And I think just keep reflecting, bringing the community to reflect upon its history and look how much things have changed and how much things have stayed the same. It's all right in our grasp. We just have to perhaps allow ourselves, give ourselves permission to look inward into the story of our school for answers, for direction, for inspiration instead of outward, which is where I think our secular world tends to try to guide us.
That is so wonderful and so true that every single one of our parishes, even the newest ones, have histories and origin stories that we can all draw from. Thank you so much. Are there other things I should ask you that you'd like to tell us about DVM?
I think it's an exciting enterprise, and Catholic education should be exciting. We have this incredible opportunity to live in this story and to bring it to life for young people. I guess I would just encourage the community of educators who are listening to this wonderful series to continue to recognize how they are in the story and what they can do at this time of the story to keep it alive, to keep it relevant, to keep it meaningful. And I think one of the ways that we do that is relationship, staying connected, working together toward that horizon that is full of hope and grace and love.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kristen Melli, Executive Director of Dominican Veritas Ministries, for sharing your time, your wisdom, your vision, and this inspiring vocation you have for the future of Catholic education. Thanks for sharing it with us here in the Diocese of Cleveland.
My pleasure. I wish everyone a wonderful school year and to stay blessed.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless.